Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about...
More on thermocouples. You may well ask what more could be said on thermocouples, but if you're putting them together practically, there's a few things you say, oh, surely this is a very old area, surely people haven't thought of doing this or that, or you know, how come it's not done this way? And then you say, you know, check whether you're mad, and no, you're not, it actually works on the bench, and then you scratch your head, and you look at the research papers, there's nothing there, but there's really not enough to patent. So look, the very first thing with thermocouples is that if you're using a coupler, thermocouples. So let's say what a thermocouple is. So there is a Selbeck effect discovered by Lord Kelvin that if you heat a piece of metal, the electrons will be repelled from the high temperature end. And this varies from alloy to alloy very subtly. And so you can select two nickel alloys, one aluminium, one chrome alloy, weld the two together, that is, melt the two together at the end, and you've got yourself a temperature-dependent battery. Put a voltmeter on one end and have the other end with the voltmeter at a particular temperature. You can measure your temperature differential between your cold end and hot end. And so that means, quite simply, that if you have five thermocouples and five temperature measurers, you can have one cold junction which is exquisitely designed. Now, what's happened is that the accuracy of your thermocouple is limited to the accuracy of your cold junction temperature measurement. Now, you can have that in a cold ice bath, and that's the end of the story. Or you can have a digital one. And so, essentially, your digital temperature measurement therefore controls your thermocouple measurement accuracy, because the accuracy can be quite good if you can control the noise along the signal and all this type of stuff. This is electrical noise going across. And so rather than buying a specific chip which does thermocouples, it's a composite A to D and temperature measurer, you get a low cost, high quality temperature measure. This is a 15-bit, $1.50, 10 cents a bit, you know, temperature measurement. Just checking what it's safe on here. And this won't go for too long. Hit one of those, and then just solder it. Soldering it works beautifully. Now, the solder doesn't really wet the nickel, which is, the nickel's really stainless steel, so to speak. So it doesn't wet it. However, it holds it incredibly well. It freezes around, and it, you know, especially if you put a link on it, a little kink in it, holds it in there really well. And so you solder it into your A to D converter, and you can get, you know, really cheap, beautiful A to Ds, which have got their own little IP address on them, so you can address them and set them up, and they're quite good and stable. And then that means you can have five sensors reading quickly, and then you can manage the cold junction rather well. And there's, you know, thinking of how you manage your cold junction rather well. But the end result is that you get the beautiful time response. Like the entire thing of a thermocouple, it's got a low thermal mass. If you don't get time response, you don't get the advantage of the low mass. And look, I'll be finishing this fairly soon. Oh, look, I might chat on for a few seconds. It's 9:21. I'm driving off to the gym, and I will do 2 hours gym, or I might leave an hour and a half gym tonight. Oh, it's going to kill me. However, I hope it doesn't. So always watching this, I'm almost here at the gym. There, it gives only colour blocks. It's obviously something, it's freezing cold here in Australia, and I have to actually drive over a train line, so, you know, and it takes a good fraction of an hour to walk even this small distance. I suppose I've got to think about it. However, so this is a battery, and it's got a signal to noise ratio, Well, you can increase the size of your signal by a factor of 8, or 3 bits. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 8, 8 bits. By getting 8 thermocouples, putting them together, and that means your signal's 8 times as large, and so for your A to D converter. So there's little point going, I suppose you could go better with the A to D converter, really you've just got to beef it up to go there with your cheap A to D converter. So economically, it's best to have 8 thermocouples in a row. Here we go, bouncing in here. Oh crap, there's no good parking. There you go. Good people of Australia, all at the bloody gym. My bloody gym. Okay, here we go. I wonder if you can get in that side door. Okay, so you can build a thermocouple 8 times more sensitive, down to point. You really want to get down to a hundredth of a degree to show these effects of, say, salt added into water. There's a whole series of effects that you may as well show. You know, may as well have it as an experiment. But, you know, you can bloody do a whole new series of it. So that's one. That is, you've got your thermocouple, and you've got your typically the red and yellow wire. If you're doing your own A to D, the software itself works out whether how you've wired it up. And that's the brilliant aspect of this. So the software works out what the heck's happening. But what you do is you connect your yellow goes out to the hot junction, the red comes back, the red gets to a yellow, and then the next one goes to the same position. So you have these wires going up, and it gives you, I think, the opportunity to do some noise cancelling and stuff like that. So you get a thick thermocouple, you can have 8 wires up there. So it has the speed of it there, and it sort of adds up. So what I'll have is 5 thermocouples, 1 high temperature thermocouple, pay a bit more money for it because people want to stick a thermocouple in a flame, and then 8 of the low-cost thermocouples, which are sort of exquisitely accurate. So you've got thermocouples for the use, and then a thermocouple for really good stuff, and then your general measurement ones there. So getting back, the next thing you want to do is you want to have a box which you put your A to D's in, and your hot junction, you want it in a box, so you want it such that it will not change temperature with room temperature. So you want it thermally insulated, but then you want it to have it be uniform from A to B. You know, the left may not be hotter than the right, or the top may not. So you really want to wrap it in not copper foil, but this carbon. There's a carbon pyrolytic film, which is easy to cut, wrap, and stuff like that. And you want to build a little container out of that so that it's got low thermal mass, so it's responsive, but it's got uniform temperature from one end to the other. So you don't want your thermocouples, you want your thermocouples to be the same degree. Then you want to temperature control. So you want to have it sitting a little bit above room temperature. So you want to have it, say, sitting at 40 degrees. And you don't want it to take a lot of energy, so you want a low thermal mass, but highly insulated, such that it's just getting a little bit out. So if it heats up outside, that heat will slowly get in, and so what you decide is that I will start dropping the temperature. I don't quite know how to do it, but you want a exquisite temperature sensor inside it. And so my exquisite temperature sensor for me would be a Wheatstone bridge. Wheatstone bridge is a sort of a diamond of resistors. So you've got ground, two resistors go up, and two resistors come in to high voltage, and across there you compare the voltage. So you have, say, all resistors, 100 ohms each, and so you'll have 0 volts between the two, and that volts go into an op amp for the fire, power amplifier, which controls your heating. So I've done this before, building optoelectronic components supply, where the aim of there is not to get a stable supply, but to get up to a testing temperature as fast as possible. So what happened is that the ISO 9000 testing for it said it's got to be 0 degrees, 150 degrees, 0, 150, 0, 150, and to get it there is that if it took an hour to get up to 100 degrees, that's the time lost. So what you really want to do is it be testing for 5 minutes at 0 degrees, and then you want to get up to 100 degrees within seconds. And so that required basically a computer to do PID for it. So you want to temperature control it here, and so for this you want your Wheatstone bridge there, which provides a temperature dependent signal to you. But to have on your, say if you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, you want 1 and 4 negative temperature coefficients, NTIC, semiconductor things, and you want them, so what happens is that you have a crossing, you have, you know, your voltages will rise and lower dramatically with temperature as you go through this, and this would then come across. So you got to really wonder, how you do all this type of stuff. So that attracts me, but I don't think I'll be able to get to it because I've got to really stick out and keep out on a, you just can't have someone. I don't know how on earth you'd. You'd do that because you want to measure the exquisite voltage as it crosses there. That will give you, a full scale voltage difference between it. So it would vary wildly as you go across. And I think that it would be actually quite a good resistive temperature gauge itself, as a general temperature gauge. Come in, you put an A to D on that, I could well imagine configuring that to have an actual temperature, sort of like a miniature temperature gauge yourself. I wonder how accurate that way it is, because that would then give you an exquisite temperature range over a fraction of a tenth of a degree. So essentially, if I want to measure my thermocouples to reliably measure to a hundredth of a degree, I've got to control my cold junction to a hundredth of a degree, and that's sort of a bit of an ask. But I'm just trying to think through that. So there's two inventions before I chuff off into the night and get that done. There's two inventions. There's the series, they're not inventions, are they? There's the series thermocouple, so you just whack 8 thermocouples together and then put it, that will give you an improved signal to noise. And then the Wheatstone bridge of temperature coefficients. So I don't know whether people are really interested in that, but they're the thoughts anyhow, and I'm doing lots of podcasts to get back in, lots of exercises, and hopefully I'll get back on the horse and get going. Thanks a lot for listening.
Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.